mic check this morning. So, but happy to see you all here. And you know, like Pastor Ben had said earlier, that you know, the first of the month we always come together for communion, and you know, it's such a, it's a good time for all of us to come together and do that. But I also like to say, tonight at sunset is the beginning of a new year. And under the Jewish calendar, they start their new year. They actually, their days are from sunset to sunset. Ours is different here. So it's a start of a new year. So I'd like to wish you all happy new year, and to have a prosperous new year, and a one that will work in God's will for all of you, all his blessings, all his promises, and all his provisions. I bless you with all that today. And, you know, I'm just happy for the new year that it'll bring to us. And, well, today I'll be talking about 7 habits for a successful Christian. And, you know, the idea came to me while I was at a bookstore. I saw some books. They're called self-help books. And one was called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And then later on, when I went home, I even seen that my son had one called 7 Habits of Highly Effective Teens. So I Googled it, and sure enough, there was one for Christians. So, you know, I looked through some of the chapters, and, you know, I started reading some of the habits that they had. And one was obeying God's word, reading and obeying God's word, having the habit of an active prayer life, to set spiritual goals, to cultivate talents of others, and to take responsibility for souls. So, you know, it sounds very good, and I was pretty interested in it. So, you know, I probably more than likely want to order the book, you know, to help me out, or and to, you know, to have that, or either go to the Christian bookstore to see if they have it. But, you know, the thing about it was something got stirred up in me, and, you know, and I thought about it more, and you know, but something in me was saying that there was something different, and the thought wouldn't let go inside me. So I knew it was the Holy Spirit that put that in me. And so I would just be patient and see how it would materialize. So I was reading one day, and Jesus spoke about how we begin to change from the inside out. And I'm just paraphrasing here. And in one verse, Jesus is saying, why do you clean the outside of the cup and plate first, and not the inside? Because if you clean the inside first, the outside will come clean. So, you know, I pondered that, and some time had passed now, but the word habits kept coming up inside me. And some, and you know, we all have habits. We have some good, and we have some bad. We all have them. So, I gave thought to my relationship with God, and I started examining myself. I thought, you know, I can sure look good on the outside. You know, maybe I read my Bible, I pray, I sing, I smile, you know, all good habits, right, that we should have. But the thing was, it caught notice, because these are things that we do on the outside. And I said to myself, what's going on the inside? So, you know, and I remember that Jesus, he looks at the heart, and all I heard was habits inside of me. And it kept on telling me there's a difference. So I looked up the word habit, and it reads, these are actions that are ingrained, that have become natural because of the continued repetition. They are things we do without thinking, but are accomplished with skill and precision. So we know as Christians, we don't just simply raise our hands, go through the water at baptism, and we come out immediately saints, right? We know that doesn't happen. So we have to cultivate habits in our lives so that they become a natural part of our lives. You know, there are many good habits we can start with our walk with Jesus. But I also too in this, I thought about 7. So I thought about the habits that start within us. And I asked God for his help, because I didn't know where to start on this. So, but as I started, I got a confirmation of what I was about to start. You know, one day in the mail, I get some stuff from our daily bread, our daily thing that we read. And inside there had a little track, and it talked about godly habits. So for me, it was something saying that God was saying to me that I'll be there and that he'll help me in this. So my hope today is that we all begin to strive to do this. But today I'm only going to cover three habits of it, because I had seven. But, you know, there's so much meat and potatoes in this. You know, I couldn't overstuff you guys. You know, I want you to. Yeah. So, you know, I don't want you to walk out of here so full that you guys need Pepto-Bismol or something. So I'm going to cover three today, and prayerfully, Pastor Ben will allow me to do the other four. You know, like today, this will be the appetizer. We have the main course, and then save room for dessert. All right. So, you know, some of the other habits we'll look. I have three today, and some of the other habits we'll cover is the habit of keeping a clear conscience, the habit of enduring adversity, the habit of rising to the occasion, and the habit of recognizing God's provision. But today we'll start with the first one. It's the habit of taking the first step, the initiative. And when you look in your notes here, we'll start with 2 Peter 1:5-7, and it says, "For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love." Notice I underlined the word add there. You see, add means it's something that I must do. It's something that will not come automatically. When I became a Christian, yes, God will sanctify us and he'll save us, but it's something we can't do. So in Isaiah 45:22 in your notes, it says, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." So we see that is something that God does for us. Good habits and character, it's what we must add. God will not force us to walk correctly before him. We have to do it ourselves. We must work out our own salvation. And Paul says this in Philippians 2:12 in your notes. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." And it's not the kind of fear like, you know, I'm scared, but giving reverence to God. So we see that add means I must get in a habit of doing things. And according to Philippians here that we just read, it's something I just don't do around you brothers and sisters. It's something I have to do also not in your presence. So I need to take the initiative to make a beginning, to instruct yourself in the way that you must go. Remember when Pastor Ben talked about a couple of weeks ago about stepping to step out to step in? You know, on the stormy sea, Peter took the initiative towards Jesus. And when, let's read Proverbs 3:5-6 in your notes. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." You see, notice I underlined the word paths here. Something we read, you know, sometimes we can read by that so fast we miss the point that it says paths, more than one. And that path is a way we must go, but we must have the instinct or the initiative to begin the path. That's why God says your paths. All he is saying is to acknowledge him on the paths. Have faith on the paths. Don't lean upon your own understanding on the paths, but trust God on the paths, and he will direct you. We need to step out. Some paths may work and some may not, but God wants us to take the initiative. And we must also be careful, because we all have some excuses for not taking the initiative. One tendency is to ask God the way when we already know perfectly well what it is. Or we say, or we wait for God to do things for us that God wants us to do. You know, a lot of times we say, I'll wait for a sign, you know. But here's the sign, brothers and sisters. God wants you to take the first step. That's the first sign. That's the sign right there. And all these things can become smoke screens for fear. And a major one is not having the habit to turn to God when a big crisis comes. You know, I know my favorite one was, God didn't get me into this, so I'll get myself out. You see, what it is you're already on the path. And what does the word say? It says, trust in the Lord. Acknowledge him in all your crises. You know, the path that you're on, he shall direct. He's going to help you. He's going to get you out of that mess. And in Matthew 14, 29 to 31, it says, Jesus, he says, come. And then Peter got out of the boat. He walked on the water to Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see, but what happened is Peter took the initiative. He stepped out. God will bless your initiative. That's why Peter was able to walk above the storm like Jesus. And on some paths, we're going to have doubt. Our faith will start to sink. But on the path, when we cry out, Lord, save me, Jesus will reach out his hand. You see, not all paths may be a good choice. You know, there may be a lesson on that path for us, something we must deal with. We must add this habit to turn to God first. It's a good habit to have. It's taking the initiative towards God first, or we will miss all the ways that God wants to take action in our lives. We should instinctively turn to God in all of our ways. And in James 4:8 in your notes, it says, come near to God and he will come near to you. So habit number two, the habit of loving one another. Let's read 2 Peter 1:7. It says, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Again, I underline the word here, and that word is love. It's something that I must add. Isn't love already in me? Shouldn't I know of love? But what about a godly kind of love? You know, how does that kind of love start in me? Am I able to do it, that type of love, in my own strength? So God points us to a better direction. Love with the love that God puts in our heart. And when we read Romans 5:5 in your notes, it says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the question is here, do people irk you sometimes? Do they just get on your nerves? You know? I know people I work with, and maybe even here at church, but mostly at home with my family. You know, I'm this person you see here, I'm not always that lovable. You know, and I can be an unusually difficult person, and yes, I know you're shocked about this, but I'm just telling the truth. But the thing is, I think about how unusually difficult or disagreeable I can be to God, you know, and I think about how God feels, yet he still loves me. He still loves all of us. This I know because the Bible tells me so. So, yet, you see, and he still loves all of us, you know. The Holy Spirit reveals us that God loves us, not because we're all lovable, but because it's his nature to do so. He created us. Now, God commands us to do the same, to love others. And when we read John 15:12, Jesus says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What God is saying here is a number of unlovable people will be in our lives. You know, people that just irk us, people that just get on our nerves. You know, maybe it might be your boss. Maybe it might be your next door neighbor. You know, the mangoes always falling down in your yard. You know, trim the tree. Or, you know, the dog barking, the guy doesn't tell the dog to be quiet, you know. Or it could be a relative, you know, a friend, a coworker. You know, you must exhibit God's love to them. And Jesus says, just as I have exhibited to you. And this is not a patronizing kind of love. And what I mean by that, you know, you just don't go up to Pastor Ben, patting him on the back and go, yeah, Pastor Ben, you know I love you. Yeah, yeah, I do know. Just sit down and be quiet, okay? You know, it's not that it's not a patronizing kind of love. So, okay, where am I? I lost my way. So we see that it's not that type of love, you know. So, you know, God's love, that type of God's love we must add to our lives. And it needs to become a habit, and we need to take the initiative. You know, it's in our hearts, according to Romans 5:5. And yes, it won't come to us overnight, because love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So how do we maintain God's divine love in our hearts? In 2 Peter 3:9, it says in your notes, the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. I should look within me and remember how wonderfully God has dealt with me, being patient with all of us. That's what will compel me to love others. And yes, I will get irritated at times, but I think about just how much I irritate God, you know. So the question is, who do you have trouble loving? Who hurt you? What irritating person has God put in your life? Thank God for that person. That unlovable person in our lives will help us maintain God's divine love in our hearts. And the thing is, are we prepared to be so closely identified with our Lord Jesus that his life will be continually poured out through us? You see, love is spontaneous. Love is an action word. I'm going to tell you a story about a dog and his master. I hope you guys get the point of this. There was a dog, and a river was between the dog and the master. And at the sound of the master's voice, the dog looked up at the master, tail going crazy, looking for a pass without going through the water, setting his paws in the water, bending back out, in the water, then back out. Finally, the dog leaps in the river, going for the long swim. The dog so happy to be with the master again. Did you ever get whacked by a wet dog tail? Man, that thing is sore. But you see, the master, he loved him for that. If a dog's daring love made the master's heart go out to him, how much more your Father in heaven when we dare to delight him? How much more when we step out in his love? So, number three, let's go to number three. The habit of having no habits. I know it's not a type error, but we'll get into it, and you'll see the point to this. The habit of having no habits. When we first begin to add a habit, we are fully aware of it, right? But the awareness should only be a stage for us, a stepping point to begin, where we step out and we take that initiative. We just don't stop there. No, we keep moving on that path. we can, because what can happen is if we stop at this stage of awareness, the godly habit will not become a spontaneous expression in our lives. You know, and it's just the opposite with a bad habit. With a bad habit, you know what you have to do? You have to come aware of it to stop it. You know, oh, what am I doing? Get down, you know? We have bad habits. You know, my wife tells me, man, you have a bad habit of interrupting people. And I'm like, no, I never do that. You know, I interrupt her, you know? So I have to become aware of it. So what I do is, you know, when we speak with family or and stuff like that, I come aware of it. I say, okay, don't interrupt, you know? Oh, you know, and I'm holding back. I'm trying to be aware. Okay, wait until they ask you. Come on, ask me. You know, so I come aware of a bad habit. I have to bring that to the stage again so I can stop that. But the opposite is with a good habit. You know, we don't want to be stuck there. And see, what can happen is the habit can actually become an idol if we're not careful. We will develop a sense of spiritual pride. Your God may become your new Christian habit, the habit of reading the Bible or praying. Good habits, right? These are good habits, right? But for me, there's a difference here. And this is it. Should it be, I got to read the Bible and pray today? Or should it be, I want to read the Bible and pray today? You see, there's a difference here. And that's what I'm talking about. Another example is this. You know, a wife asking the husband to go to the store. It says, you know, she goes, honey, will you go out with me to the store? He goes, I can't go to the store right now. You know, it's my time alone with God to read and pray. But actually, it's your time alone with your habit, you see. Because you're using that as an excuse to not go. Spiritual pride shows itself on the outside. We need to focus where? On the inside. What does it say? Clean the cup first, grasshopper, and the outside will be clean. You see, we have to clean the inside first. Godly habits start on the inside. Plus, Jesus was at home anywhere he went with his Father. And if Jesus is who you want to be with, Jesus doesn't mind going with you to the store, right? He's always there where we take him. You know, love means that there are no visible habits because they should be so wrapped up in Jesus, we practice them without even realizing them. When we read 2 Peter 1:8, it says in your notes, the more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it says here, the more you grow, the more productive and useful you will be. Peter is talking about the habit we must add in 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, if I'm aware of my holiness, it's proof that I still need to add to my faith. My awareness should not be the habit. It should be Jesus. So here's one. You know, so here's a couple of them. Do you enjoy this Bible service, or do you enjoy hearing God through His Word? There's a difference. Or do you want the supply, or do you want the supplier? How can we make a habit of having no habits? The point here is that any good habit can become hurtful or harmful if it takes the place of God in our lives. You know, here's another example. Say I'm on the phone, okay, and the phone rings. He goes, and I answer, and I said, yes, hello, this is Brother Carl. How can I help you? Yes, oh, hi, brother. Yes, I remember you. Right, we talked about it last week, right? You have that family problem, yes. Oh, still there, right? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. Yeah. Okay, you know what, brother, I'm kind of pressured right now. You know, they just put me in this mission ministry. And yeah, you know me, anything for Jesus. Yeah. Okay, brother. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Yeah, tonight I will. Yeah. Give me a call tomorrow, okay? All right. God bless. All right. Bye. You see, at this stage of awareness, if we get trapped there, we begin to worship the habit and not Jesus. We place limitations on ourselves from doing certain things. We hold back. We don't take the initiative to help someone hurting. You step out in love for one another. If you don't exercise the habit, we become unfruitful and unproductive. We need to examine ourselves. You know, just like when you go to the doctor to get a checkup, he examines you, right? He sees what's wrong. And after, they have a plan to get you on to get you better. They put you on a path for better health. You know, they may add some medicine, they might add some band-aids or whatever it is. And it's the same here. We look for missing qualities that needs to be added to our lives. We become disciplined, we exercise the habits and the qualities until they are so much a part of us that we don't even notice them. You know, allow God to work through whatever circumstances we may be going through, and have him increase, and we need to increase in him and add to his qualities. And you know, today we have that opportunity today. You know, Jesus, through the communion, what we taught, he gave us a better way. You know, before with the Israelites, through their communion with God, it was up to them what they would do. It was all up to them how they would perform. But now with Christ, he performed for us. And everything before was what you will do for God. But now, because of Jesus, it's what God will do for us. But see, the point here is we have to take the initiative. We have to take that first step to God. You see, either we need forgiveness for judging others, or it might be just forgiveness for a desired assurance that no sins will be beyond his grace for us. You see, be encouraged today to take that step, because no one is going to cast any stones at you today. You see, go and be changed. Take that first step and be changed by God's mercy. Take the initiative. Thank you.
Praise God. That was an awesome message, brother. Thank you. And we all need to hear these types of messages where we realize, you know, if we want to have a happy life, you know, we got to make sure we're doing what's supposed to be doing according to the word of God. And, you know, I got to say something. You know, first of all, I can't wait until the next four, you know, successful tips come. But, you know, yeah, it will be soon. It will be soon. But, you know, as I was looking through all these verses my brother had laid out here, you know, I got to tell you, you know, the number two point, it says the habit of loving one another. And Romans 5:5, it says there, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to what? To fill our hearts with his love. And in John 15:12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And we realize, right, when we have the love of God in us, we're loving in a manner that is not like the world. Because when you truly have the love of God inside of you, oh man, you know, somehow something changes in your mind, something changes in your heart, and suddenly you're more forgiving, you're more loving, you're more willing to say, it's okay, and I'm not going to let this affect me, because, hey, I'm loving with the very love of God. And I got to tell you, it is powerful when we truly understand this. And, you know, I got to tell you, I recently read this article. You guys ever heard of this company called Van Moof? I know it's a very unusual name, but it's a company that is in the Netherlands. It's a Dutch company, and basically it's a bicycle manufacturing company. And the whole thing about this is, right, they produce bicycles for people all over the world. And, you know, recently they're trying to make it so that it's more of an internet business. So it's not so much distributing it to other companies to sell. They want to make it so it's solely internet. And that's their goal. By 2020, they want to make it so it's pretty much all sold onto internet. So right now they're doing this, and it's about maybe 20-30% of their bicycles being sold on their internet. But the problem is, you know, even though they pack it really well and they put on the box, handle with care, okay? Guess how they come out when it's finally delivered to the customer? And they're all bust up, yeah. And, you know, the wheels may be kind of bent out of shape, or, you know, the frame is kind of like twisted. Because guess what? They think, oh, it's only my bicycle, right? So they're like throwing it all over the place. Who knows, right? But the fact of the matter is, man, usually the customers complain because they say, how come my bicycle is all deranged, all bent out of shape? And so, you know, they had to think, okay, what can we do? Because we want to make this solely an internet business. So this guy, upper management, he came up with a brilliant idea. He said, you know what? There's something we can do to make this better. You know, and he kind of thought about it, and he realized, you know, the very one thing, maybe it's the box that needs to be changed. So they said, let's put it in one of those, you know, flat screen TV boxes. Said, maybe that will work, and then, you know, we'll put handle with care. But then they say, you know what, we'll do something even better. Let's put a picture of a flat screen TV on the box. Okay, and with it, there is a bicycle. But everyone who gets a hold of this box realizes what? Hey, it could be on flat screen TV in there. So we got to handle it with what? Care. Because we know, right, that screen is going to break, right, if you mishandle it. But there's a bicycle inside of it. But you know what? They did this, and they've been successful. You know, it used to be that they would have complaints all the time, but they say up to 90-95% of the customers who receive their bicycles, man, no problems. It's in perfect condition. And so it made me kind of think about this, right? Because, you know, it really makes you think about how we're treating others. Because we know we are made in the image of God. Is it just us believers? Everyone. And God may have put that stamp on every one of us for us to see. Handle with care. Because he made us. We are God's creation. And we got to realize God wants us to handle each other with care. But do we do that all the time? No, we don't, don't we? Sometimes we can be mean. And sometimes we can say things to hurt others. And the very fact of the matter is, God may be in the background. We are the bicycle. And God in the background is saying, in my image, handle with care. Would that make a difference to you every time? You know, you're about to say something mean to someone, and suddenly these bright red lights flash above this person's head. In God's image, handle with care. That's what God has called us to do. And I realized something. You know, as a pastor, you know, a lot of times I'll counsel people. I'll see to it that the word of God is preached in such a way that it will touch their heart. But, you know, the very fact is, I got to tell you, you really want to be successful in your Christian life, man, it starts with your relationships. You know, your relationship with your boss, with your spouse, with your parents, whoever it may be. If you humble yourself, always have the attitude that I'm going to handle this person's heart with care. You're going to have blessed relationships, amen? And not only that, you're going to have a blessed life. Because you're doing it God's way. You're doing it according to the word of God. Amen. And that's what God has called us to do. And if we do it, you know, God, he's going to see to it that every area of your life will be blessed by his very hand. But we got to submit to him. We got to resist the devil. And we got to realize our relationship with God comes first. And if we always turn to the word of God, we're always looking to the ways of God, you're going to realize, hey, your life will be more than just successful. Oh, it's going to be blessed. Blessed by the very hand of God. Amen? Why don't we go ahead? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And we realize, Father, that truly, we're in desperate need of you. As my brother Carl had just preached, we know, Father, we truly want to be successful in every area of our lives. But, Father, we know it really begins with us. How much we're willing to submit our lives to you, how much we're willing to submit our ways to your words. Father, we know we cannot do it. We cannot truly have a successful, blessed life without you helping us, guiding us, leading us. Help us, Lord, to have that spirit of humility deep within our minds and in our hearts. So much so, when it comes to our relationships, we're going to realize, hey, it's not important about being right. It's important that we know that our lives truly belong to you. Father, will you help us? Help us to stay on track. Help us to always look to you in every situation. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, as you listen to the word that had been preached by Brother Carl, you realize, you know, I got to make some changes in my life, because I realize maybe I haven't been really doing things according to the word of God. But you're saying, Lord, I'm willing. Will you help me, Lord? Because I'm so desperate for you. I know that my life can be so much more blessed than what it is now. And Lord, help me to choose your ways in every situation. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're crying out to God. You're saying, Father, I truly am serious about wanting to live according to your ways and according to your word. If this is the cry of your heart, will you just raise your hand right now and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind these very hands saying, Lord, I'm desperate for you. I'm done trying to live life the way I want it. Help me to have a heart that is pure and holy. Help me to have a heart that is willing to give of my very best worship unto you. Help me to have a heart that's willing to love others the way that you love me, Lord. Father, fill us up right now, Father. Let there be an overflowing, Father, of your power and of your goodness, knowing that our lives truly belong to you. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I heard some people talking about the very fact I can have a relationship with Father God, with his son Jesus. What must I do? How do I get started in something like that? Well, you can start off by praying this simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart and your soul. And if you're ready, you're willing to say, yes, Lord, I give all of my heart to you. I submit myself to you. I resist the devil. And the devil has to go. The devil has to flee right now in Jesus' name. If this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, yes, Lord, I am willing. Show me how to walk. Show me how to live so my life can be a pleasing sacrifice unto you. And if this is truly the cry of your heart right now, you're saying, Lord, go for it. Have your way in my life. Can you raise your hand right now and say, yes, that's me. That is me, Lord. Yes, Lord, with all of my heart. Praise God. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Don't let it be just mere words, because that won't cut it. Let it be expressed from deep within your heart and your soul. Why don't you repeat these words after me? Say, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. I believe in your son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again, and he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Oh, cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God. so that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil will know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I live for him and him only. Father God, I thank you for writing my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,